Hey, welcome to Busting Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with the webmaster Evan Jenkins, Gemin Jenkins on X, formerly known as Twitter. And we're here to talk draft prospects in the future. And while the Tigers are in the postseason, we've come out with our top 10 list here of Tiger prospects. Now, this does not include any of the players who've made their major league debut. No Jackson Jobe. All right. I mean, this is the because it goes a little bit deeper into what the actual future is. You know about the guys that have arrived, Young and Ty Madden and Dylan Dingler, the players that have made their major league debut. This goes to the players that will be on the top 10 prospects. Well, in the year or two to come. So, and not necessarily all players that you're familiar with. So here we go, Evan. Number one on the list. That's an easy one. That's Max Clark. Boy, did we rankle some feathers, Evan, when I did that podcast that I said he was struggling against a Class A pitch. He was hitting like 115 and, like 50 some at bats. And I just said he was having trouble adjusting. And you would have thought that I ripped his head off. But actually, if you go back and you want to check our log of prospects, we predicted that they would take Max Clark. And we agreed with that at the time. So we're big Max Clark guys here. All right, we've
We're just
sang
here
the
to motivate
praises.
Max Clark, Pat.
It did. He ended up with shoes that the good guy, bad guy thing. And oh my gosh, I mean, people were listening to it. And every time he gets a hit, somebody will put up there, "Yeah, this is what you said about Max Clark." Max Clark is an outstanding prospect. He deserves all the kudos he's gotten. He did struggle initially at Lakeland late in the 2023 season, early this year. But boy, once he made that adjustment, he really came on. He did very well at West Michigan. The question about him isn't, well, is he a good prospect? He's a great prospect. And I think he has a high upside. He's got excellent speed, very good defensively. I think the power will come. He will hit a pitch that's. Where his bat speeds up a little bit and it's an off-speed pitch, he'll knock it out of the park. He's got a real good bat-to-ball approach, and he's got a little flair, a lot of flair, actually, when he plays. But the question I have is, they've got a 24-year-old center fielder who's a gold glove that's going to happen in Parker Meadows. Max Clark, I think, is going to move relatively quickly. I do believe they'll start him next year at West Michigan. And at some point, move him up to Erie. He'll be 20 years old. But he's going to be arriving in the major leagues pretty quickly, I feel. And he's going to be pushing that because I think he's that good. He'll push them. His power numbers will go up if he gets up to Erie. It's a little bit more homer friendly. I don't think he'll have that much problem adjusting. The question is, Evan, what do they do when that happens? That's kind of a big if. But Parker Meadows, is quickly establishing himself as not only a regular, but as a key regular for the Tigers. And Max Clark's good in center field. He's not as good as Parker Meadows. And there's nobody in baseball, really, that can match Parker Meadows, I think, at this point. There's a lot of good center fielders. I understand that. But that's how good Meadows is defensively.
Yeah, I think it's just a great, great, great problem to have. And where they might find themselves, I know it's not an exact parallel, but kind of like the position the Yankees are in right now with Jason Dominguez and Alex Verdugo, where I think a lot of the fans want Dominguez to come in because he's this young, up-and-coming prospect. But Alex Verdugo is the guy that's producing on the field right now. So I think it's a good problem to have, and I think everything will sort itself out eventually when that happens. And I would imagine it's 2026 when we see him up here, and maybe that's where Cary Carpenter ends up being a full-time DH, and they platoon those two. But it's a good problem to have, and when their number one prospect is keeps improving, I think that's the most important thing. And when we talked about it, 5 months ago now, talking about Max Clark and his first initial playing in professional baseball was. There's room to improve. And I think that's all that you were saying is that listen, he might not start like a rocket ship here, but give it time and he'll be all right. And he is all
right. I mean, like, you know, because there's always this kind of, well, I don't know. I don't want to get into it. It's like we've gotten ridiculous with things like that. At our station, it's just out of control. It really is, man. We got, I know it's right, I was wrong. You know, the Tigers have kind of embarrassed a lot of the people's opinions on it. They shouldn't be embarrassed about it. The Tigers, you know, they did well, but they weren't doing well for a while. Max Clark wasn't doing well, and I told you he wasn't doing well, and why. He certainly has made the improvement, and I found it funny because you know this. I mean, I was the Max Clark guy. When was the first time you ever heard of Max Clark?
It was here, yeah. It was I looked at prospect ratings or anything.
Yeah, so, yeah, there you go. But I think Clark's excellent. He's definitely number one. And number two on my list, I have Kevin McGonigal. I thought he did very well this year as a hitter, and he could be a special hitter. I don't know if he's a shortstop or not, but he did well at shortstop. He showed sure hands, kind of flagged a little bit later on before he hurt his hand. And don't get fooled by the numbers. He was had a very brief time at West Michigan. I think he would have adjusted there. And I think he's going to be a very quick mover in the Tigers system as well, simply because of the bat. I think the question is he a shortstop? And again, the Tigers now have a shortstop who's 24 years old, is in the major leagues, has put up a WAR at the end of the regular season of one. Has gotten even hits in playoff games now and shown himself to be very good defensively in Trey Sweeney. Hey, you'd really need a shortstop now. That's the question, because that was the big, big thing. They didn't have any shortstops in the pipeline. Well, all of a sudden, they got one at the top of the food chain here. And then on top of it, they've got a couple other shortstops in Kevin McGonigal and, of course, Bryce Rainer, who they took in the first round. And we'll get to him a little later when his ranking comes up. Organizational depth. Shortstops now. Great trade. The Flaherty trade was a great trade. It paid off for them. Great deal. And it's made what was a real glaring weakness with the draft pick and with the last 2 years' draft picks all of a sudden show. That's been good by Scott Harris and his folks in the front office, Greenberg and others. Number three is probably going to be a controversial one because I think this is the Tigers' most underrated prospect. That's Hoyu Lee. The second baseman, he only played 87 games this year because he had a back injury, but he is going to be an outstanding player. I think that the perception of Hoyu Lee is that he does everything well and isn't exceptional at anything, but when you have an 851 OPS at 21 years old in double A ball, that's being able to be a plus hitter. He also had 12 bombs in 87 games. He stole 16 out of 17 bases. He plays very well defensively. And, these players get wrapped sometimes they don't deserve. Hoyu Lee's what the Tigers are looking for. He doesn't strike out that much. And he puts the bat in play. He plays fundamental baseball. And he's their type of player, acquired in the trade for Michael Lorenzen in 2023 at the deadline. Most underrated prospect in their system, in my opinion, by a mile. So I got him at three.
Is this the most depth the Tigers have had organizationally in a long time?
Oh, without question. Oh, gosh, yes. Without question.
I mean, we just talk about three positional players who all have a path to Major League Baseball, but yet are blocked by players that are very young and doing it in their own right. I mean, you look at second base. I mean, is Colt Keith eventually your second baseman of the future? I think that's still up in the air. But that's another young guy that's blocking another young guy. It's a great
I think Colt Keith, and I know the metrics sometimes aren't that good with him, and it depends on what metrics you look at with everything. You know, there's no definitive metric, whether it be the technology or the math. The technology, to me, tends to be a little more revealing. But when it comes to fielding metrics, it's like really, I don't know, it's a little iffy sometimes. You know, you got to look at what you see. And I thought Cole Keith made great strides defensively. He made some nice plays. Question I have, and I've talked about it, is his arm. You know, it would turn into double play. You know, this is a guy that if he hadn't hurt his shoulder, and who knows, after a while, these things start to get better with time, something like his shoulder. But he doesn't have the zip that you need turning that double play when he spins off it. But he's compensated by getting rid of the ball quickly. And his range isn't bad. I mean, I've seen him make a lot of plays. We all have. Where he's moved one way or the other. And a couple times at key moments late in the game, a ball's been hit that was a difficult play, and he's made it. So, but Hoyu Lee, along with, and I got another second baseman that I just put on my top 10 here. And McGonagall may be a second baseman. So they've got a lot of second basemen. Chase Young is a second baseman.
Yeah.
So again, it goes to, man, second base is loaded. And what do you do in the offseason if you're a contending team, which obviously the Tigers are right now? Do you make a trade for some of that depth to get players that can fill positions for you? Again, it goes to trades and using your organizational depth. This gives the Tigers a lot of depth. So, and then we go to number four. I got number one, Clark, number two, McGonagall, number three, Hoyu Lee on my list. I'm going to kind of update it as we go. Number four is Tyrone Lorenzo, the catcher, and I don't think he's a catcher, but they got from the Dodgers in the Jack Flaherty trade. But there have been a few problems. I'm really impressed with him as a hitter, Evan. I mean, he's got that little extra, whatever it is. He powders the ball. He's a switch hitter. He gets in the box there with that axe in his hand, and he looks like, man, he's going to murder you. There was a one hit. I don't know, it was just a foul ball, but it went down the line between the foul pole and you know, where the stands go out. It's just kind of that small spot. And I think they were playing in Lansing. It might have been in West Michigan. But anyway, it's just a foul ball. But he hits it 115 miles an hour on a rope, and it doesn't get above like 5 feet. This is one of those guys that when he hits it, you know, people go, oh, my gosh, look at this guy. And he had a big series against Lansing before he had to go out for some shoulder tendonitis. But I really, really like him as a hitter. But it's a big boom and bust thing. He's either going to be great or he's not going to be. And as a catcher, he is so raw. You look at Jake Rogers and how well he's playing. Yeah. And you were to put it next to Tyrone Lorenzo, and you're like, oh, you know, there's a big difference there. All right. So I don't see him staying there. But again, it gets to organizational depth. And it gets to, what do they think of Spencer Torkelson? Would they take this kid? He's 21. Would they make him a first baseman? Does he have the athleticism to do that? I don't know. The fluidity, I don't know where that's at with him. You know, that ability to be able to field a ground ball, things like that. And is Torkelson their first baseman of the future or not? And that is one of the biggest decisions that the Tigers are going to have to make. But Lorenzen is a hitter, massively huge upside. Can't emphasize it enough. I'm surprised his numbers weren't better overall in A-ball this year. And that'll be interesting to see what happens next year. He'll definitely start at West Michigan again. But he'll push double-A next year, and he could start to put up some bigger numbers. I love his upside. Number five on my list, I have Bryce Rainer, who was taken by the Tigers in the first round this year. from a premier high school program, Harvard Westlake. And it's, I don't know how good he is. He didn't play this year. All right, so I got a bunch of video on him that I had at draft time that I talked to you all about, talked to different people about him. He definitely has an upside. I just don't know what it is. I don't trust what the team says, and they're not exactly forthcoming in any information that, they become one of those secretive societies. So I judge it on my own view, and I haven't had a view of him. He's been working out in Florida, playing with, the Gulf Coast League, or what it used to be the Gulf Coast League, the Florida Complex League, is shut down early. They don't send these kids out. So I have no idea what he is yet. He's going to be ranked highly by various services, and justifiably so, because of where he was taken in the draft. And he definitely has tools. He's got all the tools you need to be a shortstop. The only questions I have is how well is he going to hit?
Right.
There were some few little holes there that kind of showed, but he definitely could be a tremendous player. And again, a shortstop. So he may belong higher on this when we do it next year. He may be number one on the list or whatever, pushing Clark or whatever. You never know what's going to happen. But it's hard for me to get a real feel on it. That's any different than draft day, to be honest with you. And I haven't really heard anything one way or another on, well, he's that great or whatever. He's doing his work. And we'll have to see how it goes next year. Number six, I have Jaden Hamm. He's a right-handed pitcher who drafted by the Tigers. I think it was fourth round, fifth round, something like that. The thing I like about it, he's got a good fastball and all that. It's good enough. All right. What I really like about Hamm is his breaking ball. He's got an exceptional breaking ball. And he's got a real good feel for pitching. And that was noticeable in West Michigan. And this is somebody who'll move quickly. If he is good at Erie next year, and he'll start at Erie, he will move quickly and could be a big addition to their pitching staff. And I believe he's somebody that will be a rotational piece eventually. He definitely has that. Not somebody, I don't know if he's going to be a one or two, everybody goes, oh, is he a potential one or two? But he's definitely somebody who can contribute as a starting pitcher, or if the Tigers continue with this, a bulk guy. But his upside is really, really, really good. I like him a lot. He's gotten a lot of play. He's moved into the top 100 on various prospects list. All deserved. I've seen every one of his starts this year, I think he's terrific. A real good draft pick for the Tigers, who will move quickly. So here's our list so far. 1, Max Clark. 2, Kevin McGonigal. 3, Ho-Yu Lee. 4, Tyrone Lorenzo. 5, Bryce Rayner. Number 6, Jaden Hamm. At number 7, I got I don't know how to pronounce it, actually. Jose or whatever. I looked up the pronunciation. It's like a French name. Brissino, he's a catcher, but he's a first baseman. He was hurt this year at Lakeland. A lot of the draft gurus love the guy. He's big and strong. He can really hit the ball. He showed that early on. He was set back a little bit by injuries, but definitely has an upside. Another catching prospect that's going to struggle to stay a catcher, but his hitting is excellent potential. Big upside on him. Looks like a 20. If he hits, his hit tool matures, he'll hit 20 plus home runs in the major leagues and all that. And the Tigers still don't have that much power. So Lorenzo and, Brissino are two players in the pipeline that could generate power for the Tigers. Number 8 on the list, I have Owen Hall, right-handed pitcher. They drafted and signed away from Vanderbilt, paid a little extra. Again, he's in the Bryce Rainer thing. We haven't seen him, but Owen Hall has that was a great pick and signing. It's kind of like McGonagall last year, where they got a player in the second round who is first round potential. Hall throws hard. He's hit up as high as 98 miles an hour on the showcase tournaments. Sits at 95, 96. It's like 6'3", 180 pounds. He really has a power arm that could project him as a high 90s thrower after they work with him and he matures. The question I have about him is like what you're going to have about a lot of 18-year-olds. What is his secondary pitches going to look like? And I think they're working with him to kind of change a little bit of the downward plane and have him throw more on a straight plane like they did with Ty Madden, because they don't like that downward plane anymore with those uppercut swings. The ball goes right into the bats. They like it to be on a flat plane. That's why spin rate matters so much, because the ball stays on a straight plane and they swing under it when they throw the ball to the what looks on that box like the upper rail. So he's going to have to work on that. And I don't know what his secondary pitches are going to look like. Watching, there's tons of video on this kid. Watching him, it looks like his secondary pitches are like what you would expect from an 18-year-old who's pitched in high school. But he has a big upside because he's got some sizzle in his arm and a lot of development that can happen as he matures. But you won't see him till next year when he's at Lakeland. That's where he'll be at. And we'll know more about him. Wilson, who they did the same thing with last year, Paul Wilson, who's Trevor Wilson's son, he didn't have a very good year at Lakeland. He's all over the place. He was in complex ball. He couldn't throw the ball over the place, over the plate. So I don't know what we're going to see with Hall. And he may not be at Lakeland. He may be in they start him out just spring training, the beginning of the year, complex ball, and then if he does well, move him up to Lakeland. So, but he's got definitely an upside. I really like that draft pick. I like the philosophy they've had under Scott Harris with their drafts. You know, I know people are like, man, he's taking a bunch of high school kids and all that. But the projectability of that and the ability to develop them and get them when they're young, there's two different ways you can look at it. Well, let the college guys develop them and then grab them and then put them into the major leagues after a year or two. But when you get your own and you really trust your player development, this makes sense. So here's our list so far. Max Clark, 1. Kevin McGonagall, 2. Hoyu Lee, 3. Tyrone Lorenzo, 4. Bryce Rainer, 5. Jaden Hamm, 6. Jose Bursino, 7. And Owen Hall, number 8. Number 9, it starts to get a little thin at this point. You know, it's not like when you take those guys out that haven't had their major league debut, it gets a little more iffy. But this is a pitcher that I have at number 9. He's a fourth-round pick out of University of San Diego a couple years ago, and that's Troy Melton. He was at AA this year, took his lumps. You know, his ERA was over 5. But what does that sound like? It sounds like Brant Herder or, you know, a lot of the guys that they have on their staff. And I think Melton has got a power arm. I like the shape of his fastball. Again, Evan, it's got that straight ride on it. And it looks like he has the makings of a pretty good changeup. And he misses bats. And at AA this year, he grinded through it. And I think he's going to move quickly because he's a college kid and mature. He's got the makings of being a really good major league pitcher. The question is, how good? Is he a bullpen piece, especially with the importance of bullpen? Or is he a starter? How do you work him into it? But I like Troy Milton quite a bit. Number 10 is going to get a lot of people who follow prospects like, really? Really, Caputo? But I, you know, watch a lot of the West Michigan games and Erie games, you know, obviously. And this player made a lot of progress to me, and I'm starting to like him a little bit better. A lot better than I did initially as a, you know, potential player for the Tigers, and that's Max Anderson. The second baseman they took out of Nebraska, they signed him for below slot so they could get McGonagall and Wilson. And it was like, hey, yeah, you're just taking a college hitter. And this is a guy who hit like four something at Nebraska. And he hasn't really wowed anybody, right? I mean, you expect somebody like that, if they're going to be something, they really got to hit. But watching him the last couple months of his season at West Michigan, and then eventually they put him up at Erie, I really thought he's made a lot of progress. Now, again, he's a second baseman, which, you know, it's kind of ridiculous the way it is here. They've got so many second basemen. But I like him as a prospect, Evan. I do. And a little bit more. And there's other players that I could have put on this list. Enrique Jimenez, a 5'9 catcher, is a switch hitter playing a complex ball this year, who's very quick and athletic, and I think is going to be a pretty good prospect as he moves forward. There are quite a few that you could put on there. But this is the one, when you take all the players that are out, I think he made the most progress this year. Download us at odyssey.com. All the different things that you get your podcast at, check us out. It's Pat Caputo 98 on X, and Jen Mint Jenkins on X for Evan Jenkins. And you can use the station's Facebook account as well as my Facebook. I'll post this on my Facebook as well. And also, you can also get that on station's Facebook account. And hey, like us, subscribe to us, all those different things. Till next time, we'll see you.